B-Pod Studios.
This is where Boston sports fans start their day.
Oh, now, focus.
With Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's Toucher and Rich's.
Toucher and Rich, who are a bunch of sports yahoos.
Best moments of 2019.
Share the memories.
Yahoos.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, it's time to relive this final week of us on the air together, or final 3 days of all of us on the air together. Rich, what is this that we're going to remember?
It was a bit worthy of NPR. I think people might have tuned in and said, what is this? What is this very cerebral show that I'm listening to? Jumping on top of a pop culture phenomenon, let's just let this one roll, shall we?
Hi, this is Catherine Tappan, star of Nessun.
Star of Nessun.
The battle for Boston's biggest sports legend continues, but today I'm Catherine Tappan, star of...
Hi, hi, hi.
What's Tappanin'?
Up to this point, that was the worst bit, I think, unanimously, that we've ever done.
No, what's happening? Raises.
See, but nobody remembers that one. This one, what's happening, everyone remembers.
Yeah, Rod Stafford was...
It had nothing to do with her. It was a concept that just did not really quite work.
Yeah, it was not good. All right, well, Rich...
Mm-hmm.
You know, if nothing else, we have to ride the trends, and there's something everyone's talking about.
There is. And so, of course, like we like to do, we try to piggyback on the popularity of something massive that is going on either in the sports world or pop culture. And right now, we have downstairs in the office bathroom, we have both Nick and Bird. They are right now in each individual stall. Inside said bathroom, and we thought of a game that we are simply calling
Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones.
See, because... It's a long flush. See, Game of Thrones is a show, and people call toilets sometimes thrones.
Yeah. So
we explored the depths of our minds. And decided... what we came to, Rich, is it was going to be a Name That Tune situation.
Pretty much. So what is happening is that Nick and Bird are each in an individual stall right now in the company bathroom. And I will give them a category. And they will have to tell us how many flushes they believe they can complete the category's requirements in. So let's go to Nick and Bird, who right now, let's see if they were competent to at least get on the phone with us for our Game of Thrones. Let's check in on... Nick, are you there?
Yes, hi.
Hi, Bird, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
All right.
So and you did put on the door, bathroom clothes, do not, because we don't want somebody actually walking in the middle of this.
Yes, we did.
All right, in your clothes, because this does not require you to sit.
Okay. Yeah, we have clothes on.
Okay.
All right. Now, Rich, what is this called again?
This is called
Game of Thrones.
So, gentlemen.
Game of Thrones.
Yes, that's what it's called. So, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to give you a category. And each one of you has to tell me one at a time how many flushes you believe you can complete said category in, okay?
Okay.
All right. So are you ready for the category number one?
Sure.
So you're not flushing until you've predicted how long it will take.
Right. Until I say go. One of you will answer, one of you will flush.
There's a lot of monetary value for this.
Yeah. So I will give you the category, and you say, I can do that in blank flushes, okay? Let's start with Nick. Nick?
Yes.
Your category is to name 10 Marvel movies.
How many flushes?
I can probably do that in 3 flushes.
All right. And Bird, how long do you think it would take you to do it?
About the same. I'll go 2.
Once again, he doesn't get the concept of the game.
All right. So
you can name 10 Marvel movies in 2 flushes, Bird? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go for it.
Well, then let's play the Game of Thrones, shall we? So,
okay.
When I say go, Bird, I want you to start naming 10 Marvel movies, and Nick, you start the flushing.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yep.
On your mark, get set, play the Game of Thrones!
Captain America, Civil War. Captain America, the Winter Soldier. Ant-Man and Wasp. Avengers of Ultron.
Bird. I am so sorry, Bird. Bird, you have lost. Seven, so.
Flush away thy chances.
Bird, you're done.
I know.
What's the name of this game again?
Game of Thrones.
That's right. Okay. So, Bird, you are 0-1. The Game of Thrones.
So stupid.
It's awesome. I love it. Why didn't we do this?
Thank you, John.
I love it.
It's because Rich and I essentially on acid.
I know. That's what makes it great. Next category. Bird and Nick.
Okay.
Name 10 bars around the TD Garden.
Ooh.
Nick, how many flushes can you do that in?
I can do it for 2 flushes.
Oh no, you can't!
Way.
Oh
boy,
no way! You're lying!
Wow,
Bird, can you beat that?
No, I can't. He's folded. No way.
All right, so Bird, are you ready?
Oh yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, Nick, are you ready?
Yep.
Let's play the Game of Thrones.
Okay. Lansdowne Pub. Game on. Cask and Flagon. Oh no. Bleacher Bar.
You failed miserably. You failed miserably. That was
too close. Oh no, you have failed.
Bird hath dropped thy deuce.
Sorry. Which game are we playing?
Game of Thrones.
All right, let's get a little more realistic here, guys. I mean, two flushes is... Two flushes is awfully...
At Toucher and Rich. Guys, this just locked up the Marconi. At Toucher and Rich, what the hell is happening right now?
That's Game of Thrones.
Sheer awesomeness is happening right now.
What am I listening to? Maybe we do want someone to walk in during this? Hashtag take the sign down?
No one takes the sign down. All right. Guys, you're a little...
Ambitious.
Ambitious, yeah. Here. Let's kind of think of what we
want
to do.
I want there to be a winner. All right. Finally, our final category, 1-3.
My wife just texted, so awful, it's funny.
Or just so awful, it's awful. All right.
All right, gentlemen. Okay, so if you don't know what's going on, Bird and Nick are in the bathroom. And we give them something, like a list... And they have to, in how many flushes can they get the things right?
Okay.
This toilet.
The category is... The category is...
Poop.
Name 10 books of fiction.
Oh, I could do it in 45.
72 flushes.
Oh, this is a head-scratcher for both of you.
All right. Nick, how many flushes... Do you think it would take to name 10 books of fiction?
I am going to say 4 flushes.
4 flushes.
Oh.
Bird.
Saying 4 or 5 flushes.
Okay, well, you can't go up.
Can't say I guess
we'll just get, you know, let's give this one to Bird.
I agree.
It's a stand-up.
I
think we give this one to Bird.
Yes.
All right, Bird. You think you can do it in four flushes when you couldn't name one book of fiction when we had you on a couple weeks ago?
Oh, God, yeah. Good.
Let's play the Game of Thrones!
Tom Clancy, Rainbow Six. Disney, Mickey Mouse. Doctor Who.
Doctor Who.
Did he just say Tom Clancy?
What?
As
yeah. Oh, Doctor Seuss.
Doctor Seuss is out of
hollers.
I give it one.
Bird. Did he just say Tom Clancy?
Yes, he said SEAL. I think, did he say SEAL Team 6, Bird?
Whatever. He said Mickey Mouse as a work of fiction, like a book. Oh, well, I'm sorry, gentlemen.
The last thing you just played?
Which one?
Taking a poop. Game of Thrones.
All right, 617-779-0985.
I think we're all winners in this.
Why are you giving out the phone number?
Just in case someone had an opinion about something they might have heard on the radio.
Both of you failed miserably.
Kraken.
Kraken in Game of Thrones.
Well, I mean, come on.
Well, it's definitely a toilet.
Royal stench of thy diarrhea.
I'm killing
I think my 8-year-old daughter just went, this is too immature.
Bird just naming authors and made up cartoon characters.
Mickey Mouse. Dr. Seuss.
Well, there it is. Game of Thrones.
So look for that to be replayed
88 times at the seventh right circle of hell.
The 10th anniversary of the station's coming up.
That's a top tenner right there.
Oh, yeah.
Any chance the mountain comes in and kills everyone? That's what the guy on Twitter says.
Well, I like that you made one about diarrhea.
Didn't make anything so.
Beware good. Thy royal stench of thy diarrhea.
Well, maybe I did. I forgot about that one.
Jesus. All right. We'll be back.
Game of Thrones.
It's one of the best moments of the year. All right. The Patriots have a chance to clinch the AFC East for the 10th year in a row. Bud Light, not the greatest year, apparently. And Bud Light and 98.5 The Sports Hub want to send one winner and a guest to watch them do it.
It's too sophisticated for some people. Winners will receive Patriots tickets to the last two regular season home games with VIP on-field access. That's awesome. And if they clinch the AFC East, you'll also have the opportunity to participate in a behind-the-scenes celebration with the team. Plus, you'll score tickets to the first home playoff game.
To enter, go to the contest page at 98.5thesportshub.com and upload a video showing us what makes you Patriots superfan and why you deserve to win this unbelievable prize.
We're going to pick the best video submitted and invite finalists to join us at the Sports Hub Studios this Friday, and one person will be crowned Patriots superfan and win.
It's all thanks to Bud Light, the New England Patriots, and 98.5 The Sports Hub. Must be 21 or older to participate. No purchase necessary.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Why you waking me up now?
It's TNR on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I had no idea they could do that.
Well, there you go.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
And hello again, everyone. A very pleasant good afternoon and welcome to Paul Brown Stadium in downtown Cincinnati for an encounter of the 10-3 New England Patriots and the 1-12 Cincinnati Bengals, who take the field along the banks of the Ohio River.
Every week we try to prepare to play our best on Sunday.
Brady screams it left for James White. He's got to beat the defender with a block from Tony across the 20, past the 15-10, to the 5, White into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Absolutely beautiful play design here.
By Bailey with 1:45 to go. They nearly get to it with a punt at the 25, and he dropped it. He dropped it.
Slider.
The ball loose at the 23. Matthew Slater was downfield first for the Patriots at the bottom of the pile for possession.
Slater and wins.
Recovery by the Patriots. Brady takes the snap, backs up. He looks left, now scans back to the middle, directing traffic, pressure. Throws to the back of the end zone.
Yeah.
Caught by Haley. Diving catch. Touchdown, Patriots.
Oh. About time.
Dalton takes the step. Fires to the right. Pass to be intercepted by Gilmore. Goodbye. Gone to the 50. Left sideline 40. To the 30. Stephon Gilmore to the 10. En route to his second pick six of the season. Touchdown, Patriots.
What an angle by Gilmore off this. What a second half start by him here.
Tom drops back, hands it off to Burkhead. Runs it to the left side of the 25. Cuts it right across the 20 out of a tackle. Rex Burkhead back in Cincinnati for the touchdown, Patriots. Picked off by Stephon Gilmore. He threw a right ball to the boy. Gilmore with another interception for the Patriots. His fifth overall. Dalton takes the shot to the step. Backs up, pocket squeezing down. Throws it down the right side. J.C. Jackson there. Leaps to make the interception.
Three.
Comes down inbounds at the 10 in front of Erickson. The Bengals are confused. Dalton stands in, fires a deep ball down the left side. There's some separation, but then Jackson makes up for it. Another interception. Runs it back from the 10 to the 15-20. And J.C. Jackson steps out of bounds at the 25. The Patriots about to officially gain entrance to the postseason for the 11th consecutive year. For the 22nd time in 26 seasons under the ownership of Robert Kraft.
After we won, I wish we'd always do better. There's always things to improve on even when you win.
Oh, yeah, baby. You might be having trouble this Monday with the weather and everything, but don't let the news slow you down. Huey Lewis in the news, and the news is it's rock o'clock. All right, Jeff Howe is from The Athletic. He is kind enough to join us after his sojourn to Cincinnati. He is on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Jeff Howe, hello.
Hello.
So you wrote an article in The Athletic that is about the innovation that Josh McDaniels has had to had to come up with and different ways for them to try to get the offense moving. And what did you see yesterday as other than, you know, the N'Keal Harry situation, which is the one encouraging thing I think you can take away offensively from the game yesterday?
Well, I think if you really take the N'Keal Harry situation and then others that we've seen in recent weeks, I know that, you know, they were coming off a 2-game losing streak, but I like the way that the offense was able to adjust and adapt on the fly in the second half against Kansas City when they were playing a much more competitive defense than what we saw Houston do 2 weeks ago when that game was a little more lopsided than it was toward the end of the game. I just think that you're seeing McDaniels recognize that, all right, you had to get N'Keal Harry going. The two snaps a week before was unreasonable or really unacceptable. And that's a guy who could help you. So that's why they got him some early touches with those end arounds. They got him a couple receptions and the touchdown. You know, I think you're seeing some improvements from him, and it came at the expense of taking guys like Jacoby Myers and Philip Dorsett off the field. And this is an offense that has struggled to pick up the big plays or to move the ball with consistency, especially early in games. And getting the ball in Harry's hands, you know, that's only going to help. And it's not a guy that you're probably going to be able to feed 8 to 10 times a game or anything like that. But again, I think if you take a small sample like that and you kind of extrapolate it and say, all right, this is an offense that is flawed, and there's certainly no question they didn't figure it all out yesterday against a team like the Bengals, but they're able to at least they've got two more chances now, and they've been doing it the last couple of weeks to figure out what they do well and to try to really just take everything that they don't do well, throw it in a dumpster and fire it into the sun. And I think, you know, some of it's about trends. I mean, they've now scored in their opening possession in three straight games, but then they've kind of gone into the tank, really, since the Baltimore loss, with their possessions after that opening possession in the first half. And you, that's one thing that they truly need to improve before the playoffs, and really as early as probably this week against Buffalo. They can't afford to keep falling behind early in these games. I mean, you can against Cincinnati, but you can't against the other division leaders in the AFC, because this offense, as it's executing right now, is not good enough to just start throwing the thing all over the field, because then you're putting your offensive line in vulnerable positions where they can allow, you know, defenses to tee off on Tom Brady. And it's just not an offense that is just in its current state, and who knows, maybe it changes a few weeks from now, to just start erasing multi-possession deficits. So that's why they have to find ways to be a little more consistent earlier in these games.
Yeah, N'Keal Harry, if you're coming away with that, that's you're searching for something.
I don't know. Why?
He was targeted four times.
Yeah, but I mean,
15 yards.
Well, you're also taking away that amazing play that he had, that Julian Edelman was offside.
He also made an impact in the red zone. That's what they need.
Yep.
Okay. But I mean,
well, I mean, also look at the amount of snaps that he's got. He's getting into the Tom Brady circle of trust. Last week he had, what, two snaps, and it was like up to 36? I mean, they're getting him more involved. He was effective when they needed him, and that's all you need right now, because you've got guys with stone hands, you've got people who are injured, and you've got people who don't have the trust of Tom Brady. So any kind of production you can get from someone outside that circle is welcome, and you got it yesterday from N'Keal when they needed him.
But he had two catches for 15 yards.
Well, he had three, and one was massive, and they took it away, and one was for a touchdown. I mean, they needed it, and it was in the red zone as well, too. So I agree with Joe. I mean, that is the one thing I'm taking away from it, is that they are trying to get him in there. And that is also something that, you know, when you look at Sanu, there was, you know, the drop pass too as well. What's going on with Sanu?
Is he hurt?
Yeah. I mean, is he, you believe, because I know that obviously he's coming off the injury, but the drops are a little concerning.
Yeah. I was wondering if it's just lingering effects from the injury, and not just, you know, maybe not just on game days, but how has it impacted his ability to practice at full speed? Because you look at the way that Sanu and Brady are having these misconnections here, and a lot of it looks like it's timing. Now, Brady fired a missile over Sanu's head on fourth down. That would have been a tough catch. It's still one that he has to make, of course.
But Brady could have thrown that a lot better, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
And Brady missed him in the end zone, and that's a throw that Brady should have made. There was a play early in the game when Brady sailed a throw. I think it actually might have been the first throw of the game, when he sailed one over Sanu's head. And some of those plays, you know, again, it's Brady didn't make a great throw, or Sanu probably should have made that fourth down catch. But I think you look at those plays, and I think those are patterns and throws that you make when you've got a quarterback and a receiver who are more comfortable with each other. So I think when you have Sanu battling through that ankle injury, and he does appear to be moving a lot better now, but I'm just thinking, like, they're not able to practice at full speed with each other. So maybe that is impacting some of the timing, because I just don't believe that a guy who was fully equipped to handle this offense, and I like everything about Sanu as a player and his work ethic and his style of play, and I believe he is a good fit, and he had a good start before the ankle injury. So I just think that it's probably lingering effects.
Okay, is Julian Edelman hurt to a point where he's just going to be this way this season? That these injuries are going to linger, and he's going to be affected, you know, throughout the rest of the season?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's tough, because this is a stretch right now where they really could benefit by sitting him, but you really can't sit him against Buffalo, because, you know, not so much that the division's up at stake here, but you've got a first-round bye that you've got to make sure that you get. And if you get that first-round bye, then you can build in a Week 17 game off for Edelman, and then obviously that bye in the playoffs. But it's just he's stockpiling these injuries. It was the ribs early in the season, and I'm sure those are probably still bothering him, because that's just what rib injuries do, even though it's off the injury report. I mean, I'm sure that's a nagging type of situation. He's got the shoulder injury that we've seen in past weeks. You know, when he hits the ground, he starts flexing out that shoulder and trying to loosen it up. The knee, of course. I mean, he passed the pregame examination yesterday in order to get clearance to play in this game, and he looked fine running around, but I mean, there was one or two plays when he was a little slow to get up, or he was trying to walk off or shake out that knee. So it's tough. I mean, it's not like he's a guy who can just live outside the numbers and have some of these glamorous catches. This is a guy who a lot of his production comes at the expense of a car crash over the middle of the field. So it's probably unrealistic to think that he's going to wake up and feel great someday.
Okay, what about Brady? We saw his two games ago get nailed in his right arm. He sailed some passes yesterday. He didn't look great. Do you think that he's got something wrong with him too?
Yeah, I think he was still feeling the effects of the elbow situation.
Yeah.
Because he was shaking it off early in the game. He was trying to get it loose. We saw that happening in practice. And I just go back to last week when he comes to the podium with that bag of ice wrapped around his arm. I mean, this is a guy who, when he hurts his knee or whatever in the middle of a game, there's nobody in the league better at concealing an injury than he is, and he does it for competitive purposes. He doesn't want the opposition or the cameras to know that he's got something wrong with him. He doesn't want to all of a sudden become more of a target or put that vulnerable area in more of the crosshairs of a pass rusher. So to come in front of the cameras at a press conference with his arm bagged up with ice shows that guy's dealing with something. And I think that probably comes into play with some of those missed throws that you usually see him make.
Well, it's definitely something that, when you keep your eye, I think it was the first pass that just went over his head that I was like, all right, well, his arm's still messed up. But I do like the fact that they got, speaking of Nikhil Harry, I hate to go back to him, they got him in the running game too yesterday, which I found interesting. So that was another way that he was effective, where he had two different handoffs, I think, and it was something like 25 or 20 something yards, which I thought was, as you said, I guess they have to resort to some sort of innovation to get anything going on offense.
Yeah, and those end arounds are interesting because that's when you got a big bodied receiver, that's usually not the type of guy that you're giving the ball to in that situation, but they're trusting him because he can break tackles and he can get around the end of the offensive line and make some plays in space. And it was two end arounds for, I think, 22 yards. And again, I mean, to Fred's earlier contention with my point, like, I'm not saying the guy's all of a sudden Michael Thomas or DeAndre Hopkins or anything like that.
But he's visible. He's being used,
Which, right.
First-round pick.
Better than
it's
Myers.
Well, of course. And I thought that was the best decision to obviously get,
My only point is that the offense sucks when and I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying my point is that the offense sucks if you look at Nikhil Harry and go, like, wow, what a game. Like, that's just – that's my only point. Is that,
I think it's more about the snap count and going from 2 to 37 in 1 week, and McDaniel's recognizing that he needs to be better and he needs to get guys like Harry the ball, because when you're struggling to move the ball consistently, and you've had some, Jacoby Myers has had some nice moments, no doubt about it, but he's not the type of guy who can have that big explosive play that you can rely on like a guy like Nikhil Harry can. And, another thing that I liked is the way that he scored the touchdown was off a broken play. So he's running those scramble drill assignments in the back of the end zone. And those are, sometimes every bit as important as the route that's called in the huddle or the way that you're supposed to read the defense in the same eyes as Tom Brady. Just look at the way Brady was ticked off when Myers didn't run the route up the sideline when he was scrambling around a couple weeks ago. Those scramble drill assignments are important. And even if it's just one play, and I know it was a touchdown, but even if it's just one play, it's at least a sign that Nikhil Harry is getting it in practice.
All right, fair enough. Jeff Howe from The Athletic, we appreciate the time, sir, and we will talk to you in January.
Well, all right. Sounds good.
Unless something crazy happens, we'll talk to you in January. So have a wonderful holiday season, sir.
Thanks. You do the same.
All right. Thank you so much. All right. We'll be back.
Conspiracy.
With Michael Hurley.
So many pages of documents.
He, obviously this thing with Cincinnati is a joke now, but he is hysterical on Twitter.
Oh, he's the best. He's the best.
He showed Brady getting hurt, or not getting hurt, like getting sacked, and he's like, oh, yeah. Brady pays the officials. Oh yeah, and then it's like he shows this of Brady getting like kind of hit late, and so The man loves himself some Patriots.
Well, more than anything, we got to get his take on the video that came out yesterday.
Yeah, because he was hashtagging the day away yesterday.
Giffen hashtag, and it's what he does.
He loves it. All right, so here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich. 98.5 Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Talk sports. Toucher and Rich. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Jay Glazer yesterday had part of the video that Cincinnati caught the Patriots taping during their game against Cleveland. And here is some of the audio off of it.
And this is a piece you're filming on your advanced scout?
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, guys. I don't see the advanced scout in this footage.
No, it's not. We were trying to get some field perspective. It's my bad.
That's not the field.
No, believe that. That's
why you would think you could take that.
I didn't know. I didn't know. But I can delete this right here for you.
Damage is done, my friend.
No, it isn't, because we deleted it.
Once again, CD,
it's gone.
22
yards
it's
gone. 29
yards on the punt.
I can't get that.
29 yards.
There's no way I can get that footage back. I'm being honest with you. And I don't have a computer to even put it anywhere. Once this card, that's it.
Yeah, I don't see the advance scout in any of this video this shoot.
All right, so since that was aired yesterday before the Patriots game, there was a report that came out that the videographer had been suspended by the Patriots, and then the videographer himself, I guess without the knowledge or involvement of the team, released a statement that said, on December 8th, I was doing what I have done for more than 18 years, working to produce high-quality content that tells behind-the-scenes stories of people. And he said, it never occurred to me that my actions and the actions of my crew would be misconstrued. And he goes through all the stuff that he did and how he obtained credentials, all of it. And he goes, we went directly to the press box and set up a camera, get the footage we needed. We interviewed and shot the Patriots scout sitting in a chair and watching the action and panned back and forth from him to what he was seeing on the sidelines. We also took footage of the field. And then at one point he goes, at that point, I went to the restroom. And when I came back, my cameraman was told to stop shooting by someone from the NFL. And he was joined by two others from the Bengals organization and another security person, which I found funny. Why did he have to mention that he had to take a dump? And then he said, at the very end, he goes, I did not provide any footage to football operations, and I was never asked to do so. And but immediately, the first person I thought of was, of course,
Deflategate, huh? I'm reading legal documents, huh? Deflategate.
Why is Michael Hurley so angry this morning? Hurl, baby, hurl.
So many documents.
Why is Michael Hurley so angry this morning? Hurl, baby, hurl.
It's all good, baby. No, that's not it.
This is a guy who had legitimately a two-page question to ask Roger Goodell at a press conference.
And can we go back 6 days to when we had Hurley on when this first broke? This is just a quick clip of when we talked about it just as news was breaking.
Why would you include for a whole quarter worth of footage of the sidelines if you're doing a story about the scout?
That's what I don't know, and that's where if it's zeroed in on the sideline for the whole first quarter, then I think it's harder to explain. I think it's harder to sort of get out of that one. So again, I want to see it because I don't know. I don't believe single sources with, you know, axes to grind or whatever.
Why would this person have an axe to grind?
I don't know, because he works for the Bengals and he's sad about it.
Okay.
And then here's a guy that during the game yesterday, gifts galore of Tom Brady getting hit late and everything else. The man loves the Patriots, but he writes for CBS Boston Sports. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers expert hotline. You have to feel vindicated after seeing that video, don't you, Mike?
I mean, yeah, logically, but I mean, most people didn't see it that way. So it still is, you know, there were people that saw that just like, wow, this is a really bad look for the Patriots. Like, no, that's exactly what they said they did. That's,
yes, I will admit
exactly that.
I will admit, as much as it crushes me inside, that I don't know what you would glean from that video at all. I don't know what you would learn.
I mean, it was from behind, too. I think that was such an important factor where I'm not a super secret spy specialist, but I would want to see from the front.
But then again, that was where the press box was.
Right, but I mean, it's useless. It's useless footage. I mean, if you were to play it out and say, you know, that guy was going to bring that to Belichick, like, hey, Bill, I got this secret stuff. Bill would say, this is garbage. This is useless. Thank you so much.
Okay, I agree with you. I don't know how you can get anything from that. That's why I would be super mad at the Patriots if I was a massive fan, because you did something that got you almost no knowledge that I would know of, unless there's something crazy that Ernie Adams sees that nobody else sees from that angle that somebody in the stands couldn't get.
He was under the bench.
He was. But you want to hear my biggest concern about this whole thing?
Yes.
Was that yesterday Pro Football Talk made a point to put it out there that the Patriots did not know that this thing was going to be released, this statement by the videographer, who I think, by the way, if you believe everything and that he was not informed that he shouldn't be filming there, the fact that they suspended him is kind of a dick move, isn't it?
I mean, no, you're responsible for what goes on under your watch. And when it's something, obviously, that rises to the significance, it's understandable, but my question is, why is it always a bathroom? Why is there always a bathroom involved with these things?
No,
the body needs to excrete waste, Michael. If you listen to this show, you would be very aware of that.
That's fair enough.
We talk about it on a fairly consistent basis.
And, Mike, here's the other thing, that because of that statement, and maybe this is why the Patriots want to distance themselves from that, in the statement that this guy released, it starts with this. On December 8th, I was doing what I have done for more than 18 years, working to produce high-quality content that tells the unique behind-the-scenes stories of people, players, and the organization. If he's been doing this for 18 years for the organization, he worked with them during Spygate.
Yep.
Wouldn't he absolutely know that you can't film the field?
Yes, and that's why he's suspended. And he wasn't... From my understanding, that was the producer, obviously not the one actually pointing the camera and hitting record. Theoretically, though, that should have come up in the process when you're sitting in a press box and you know you're going to be in there for 3 hours of a Browns-Bengals game to sort of pass that down. Whether you're working with a longtime employee or a guy hired for, you know, a one-off, that would figure to make the short list of things to tell him, because there are rules in a press box, even, you know, for people that aren't, you know, carrying cameras on their shoulders when it comes to recording and things like that. So... That I think is why you get the discipline. The statement, I don't know, you said it wasn't authorized.
Yeah. So a Pro Football Talk yesterday put out after that statement said was that, how was it worded? That, okay, it was issued. That statement was issued without the knowledge or involvement of the team.
Huh. Well, I mean, the guy's name had come out in the Globe. So I guess there was a push to sort of probably try to, you know, make that statement to not become the next, you know, Jim McNally and John Jastrzemski, I suppose.
Yeah, but, and as I said, out of all of this, the one thing that I got from that statement was that you agree that because he's been doing this for 18 years for the organization, that he's lying about not knowing the rules.
He said he didn't know the rules?
Yeah, I mean, you heard it right there. And that clip that was there, it's like, oh, I didn't know we couldn't tape that. I'll delete it.
Is he saying he worked 18
years? No, that wasn't him. That was the one shooting it.
All right, hang on. Is the person shooting it saying he was working, or the producer saying he worked for the organization for 18 years,
yeah,
or he's been covering?
I will read how it's worded, because okay. I asked the same thing, but it's in December 18th. I was doing what I've done for more than 18 years, working to produce high-quality content that tells the unique behind-the-scenes stories of people, players, and the organization.
Okay.
But the it was a three-man crew, so the producer was in charge of the, you know, the videographer, and the videographer was the one shooting it in the front row of the press box.
But the producer knew he was doing it. He said he was with him, and then he went to the bathroom.
He was dropping a doozer, so that is where
a long one.
So what you're telling me is you think in that statement he's saying that for the 8 minutes he was taking a dump and had no idea they were filming the field.
An 8 minute dump is not that long.
That's pretty normal. That's like an average one, I would think. But he said in the statement, you know, they were pointing to the scout and then scanning to the field and going back. So maybe the photographer, the videographer thought the field was fair game and just kept going when the producer stepped away. Because, again, in a Browns-Bengals game where you can't shoot the game, he probably wasn't hyper locked in the way he would be if it was an interview or something like that.
See,
the producer,
that is. I think it makes the organization look better if he did this, like, if he's lying about this. Like, it actually, they have a fall guy, a legitimate fall guy now. Because now it sounds like if he did work for the organization for 18 years, he would have known that you can't film it. And if he filled it on his own, doesn't that kind of clean the hands a little bit more of the Patriots?
I suppose so. But, I mean, it's still, like, I put in my headline today that this whole thing's kind of a joke, but only mostly because it's not like we can sit here and say it's a non-story because of all that Patriots history, because of Spygate and everything. It's almost incredible to believe that if you're working in that organization in any capacity involving video and working on a game day involving video that your team's not involved in. You know, if he's producing a Patriots game and shooting the Patriots sideline, that's one thing. But when it's a Browns-Bengals game and you work for the Patriots, it's mostly on the producer, but, I mean, the Patriots will get punished for it, and it's for, you know, the organization not having that under control, even though ultimately the footage gained wasn't advantageous in any way, or else the Bengals wouldn't have leaked it for the public to see. But, I mean, it is the Patriots, it is an employee, so they'll suffer some consequence for it.
All right, what do you think the consequence will be?
I mean, we can't pretend like if it was any other team, the guy would have just had him delete it. He wouldn't have acted like he caught, you know, Nixon during Watergate saying the damage is done, my friend.
That was great. It was like a Charles Bronson line.
Yeah, so I think it'll be more in line with like the Falcons when they got caught pumping crowd noise in, even though it's nothing like that. It'll be $350,000 and like a fifth or a sixth round draft pick. Because you can't ignore the fact that the optics of it look bad, but the fact that Goodell and Troy Vincent are involved, I've been saying this for a few days now. No one in New England who cares about the Patriots should breathe easily until it's over, because those guys will find whatever they want, however they want. We knew that. We learned that over the course of 3 years. So until those guys officially don't find what they need, you gotta be a little bit nervous. And on that, wouldn't, if this were, you know, some complicated years-long scheme to go into press boxes and do this, wouldn't another team have said by now, like, hey, the Patriots sent a video crew to our field, too? Like, that would have come out by now, I would
say. Sure.
Think.
Finally, my favorite comment. Someone said, if the Bengals are filming what the Patriots are filming, aren't they also in violation of NFL policies? Go after them!
That's like the Colts suck a needle on the sideline, which is against the rules. They manipulated the football.
Well, I'll tell you what, Michael Hurley will be on top of all this almost to a psychotic point. If you ever saw the Always Sunny in Philadelphia where Mac and Charlie get the job at the mailroom of the office, just look at Charlie's behavior, and that will be Michael Hurley. Michael Hurley, I believe, like you do, that it was a video of very little consequence. But we shall see. All right, Michael Hurley, thank you.
Thank you, fellas.
All right, so we will be right back with Brandon Merriweather.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This what y'all wanted for 98 miles. Alright, man, you got it. Hey, well, listen, man, I'm only giving y'all a little bit, you know what I mean? Check me out. Let me give off the 98.5. You could have done better behind the wise guy. Touch and Rich will give you good sports, but your hip game suck and you ugly as f***. Touch it look like Al Bundy on crap, while Rich look like you been banged from the back. I got a new name for ya, bet you like.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.